Our Bible will be taken from the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 16. It reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and gives its light to all in the house." Verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We thank God for yet another opportunity to gather like this and to share His word. For me, it's a golden privilege. It's like $1 million. Because it's one thing to speak with audience like this. It's another thing to now talk about the word of God. So I feel humbled. And I feel privileged, and I pray that God will help us and help me particularly, so that having spoken these words, I will not be cast away, and you too, we won't be cast away at the end of time. May God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank God for giving us this privilege to come. There's so many people who wish to be here, but they were like the fool, the virgins, who wished, but they were never. We were not condemning them, but I just want to congratulate you because you have the privilege to listen to the word of God and to shape our life. This morning, what we'll be talking about is building healthy relationships. You might wonder why relationship. We are humans and we live in relationship. We form relationship in the church, at home, parents, children, husband and wife. And many times we all struggle. And the Bible told us that we should allow our lives to shine. We should be a standard example. And so the purpose of this lesson is to encourage ourselves in our various relationships, in our homes, in our marriages, as parents, family members, in the community, even in the church. We've seen how many people who come to church couldn't even say hello. We see neighbors that we keep nurturing, grieve, and grieving. We see our sons and wives who live like singles in the house. And so there is a need for us to look at this very important aspect of our life, and so that we can foster healthier relationships in order to have healthier lives. Many of us are struggling to hold on to healthy relationships. Many marriages are living hell. Seriously struggling, some parents and their children living in acrimony, anger, bitterness, regrets, disputes, harsh words, ill manner, ill feelings. Tell me I'm wrong. I just need somebody to tell me this is not really existing. Because I experienced it. And there is a need for us. Because most people meet untimely death because of toxic relationships. Some people even leave the church. The because of, not because the church is bad, but because they had issues with someone in the church. Some children's lives are destroyed because of bad relationship between the father and the mother. And so there is a need for us to look at how can we foster better relationships. We hope that this lesson will help us to manage and to navigate the challenges in our relationships, and if God will, foster healthier ones, and to live more full life as children of God. Let's go back to our text. The book of Matthew chapter, God bless Brother Gary, he's been giving us some revelations as if I've never read Matthew before. But it is not enough to listen. We should try and put action to these words so that we can have impact. If not, we'll just be a number and go the same way. The Bible reads, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, where will it be salted? We are the example. We are the one to lead, to show people the light. If you don't show the light where you are, at your workplace, in your home, who will show the way? It reads on, it said, it is of good for nothing but to be thrown away, and people should step on it. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. We can't be Christian in hiding. We have to live by the word. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Why do we read this passage? The purpose we are reading this passage is because I want you to picture your mind that I have the responsibility to lead good relationship. Look at the experience of our sister this morning. And let me tell you, God bless you for speaking up. For you to recognize what you did wrong or something that is not just right, it takes humility first. It takes humility and courage. A lot of us, we just profess, but we couldn't stand by our profession. So, thank you for taking the courage to address what was not right. Sometimes, it may not look wrong, but there is a feeling in us, the Spirit of God, that tells us, oh, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And I think that's the Spirit of God. I have a friend that was in the university. So we were sharing thoughts. And I said, I have one problem. The problem is, I find it difficult to do what is wrong and continue in it. The person now turned around and looked at me and said, do you know that what that is? It's called the Spirit of God. We all have it. Whenever I whisper into your ear, let us try as much as possible to listen. So, we suppose as Christians, as children of God, to lead examples in our relationship. In the book of John chapter 13, from 34 to 35, Jesus encourages us to love one another, so that the world shall know that truly we are the children of God. Anyone can do it. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 5. By this ye shall all men know that ye are my disciples. This is the commandment of our Lord. Jesus calls it a new commandment. Some of these things were just true. Because we are supposed to love one another. Loving in a difficult relationship is the will of God. Even though it might not feel comfortable for us, but it is the mind of God, and we have no choice but to follow His will. What is God's design in relationship? What is God's mind? It is the will of God that humans should exist in relationship. When God created man, He thought that he being alone is not good enough, and therefore He created another human being. Let me not call it a woman. Another human being, so that they can coexist and relive and live together. God created relationship. He created us for relationship. The greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember in the book of, we just took that part, Matthew chapter 22, when some people asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love God with all your heart, with all your mind. And the same is like unto thee. They didn't ask him, so what is the second one? He went straight into the second. It means that those laws were like almost the same weight. And they cannot exist in isolation. He said to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is the basis of all healthy relationships. You can read Matthew 22, 37 to 40. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible told us that two are better than one. In the animal kingdom, you will notice that lion, you know lion, is regarded as the king of the jungle. But do you think lion is the strongest animal in the jungle? Not at all. There are animals that are stronger than lions. In fact, some researchers say that the tiger is stronger than the lion, both in terms of strength, agility, and speed. They even go ahead. They said the lion is ferocious, is very fierce in his hunting than the lion. Yet the lion is regarded as the king of the jungle. Do you know why? It is because the lion depends on the strength of his pride. They don't work alone. They always gather together in order to do hunting. And so it shows that there is a lot of strength in unity, in forming relationships. We can live a better life. Yes, we can live a healthier life. We can live a more peaceful life if we can just but lead healthier relationships. Let's say some reasons, there are so many, why we struggle in our relationship. One of the first reasons is ungodliness. The Bible says, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? He responded, God forbid. Many of the reasons why we struggle, maybe in the church with a brother or a sister, is because we are not living by the will of God. Matthew chapter 6, 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall
shall we say then? Shall we continue in saying that grace may abound? God forbid. For we that are dead to sin, live any longer therein. The Bible talks about the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So many of us, if we must leave healthier relationship, we must desist from the work of the flesh and live by the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read from verse 22. Or we just take everything because it's important. Because some of these things are the reasons why we struggle and we work so hard, and yet we couldn't live a peaceful life. Galatians 5 from 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred. Idolatry is not necessarily when you cut it and give it and you start bowing to it. Idolatry is when we exalt something beyond God. Anything beyond God. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, sedition, heresies. I don't like this translation. There is a translation easy to read. Verse 20. Okay, I'll move quickly to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I want you to underline these words, so that if they abound in our relationship, we can live a better life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. This morning we were talking about why the other virgins, the fools, the wise virgins, refuse to give oil to the foolish virgins. And somebody mentioned, is it because of love? But looking at all these things, have we suffered enough? Have we been able to endure enough? Are we gentle and kind in our relationship? Did we exhibit goodness and faith that things can only get better? Are we meek? Did we show temperance? So some of these things are things that are missing in our relationship, and that's why we continue to struggle. When we allow the Spirit of God to rule over our life, we will start living, we will start having trust issues. You see, when you don't allow the Spirit of God to take control in your relationship, trust issues will come. Because remember, the Bible told us that love believeth all things. You see, the first fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. You can read that passage again. He said, we believeth all things. So when we don't allow the Spirit of God, we start having trust issues. We allow pride to overtake us. We allow selfishness to rule. Lack of humility. Lack of concern. Because whatever we do, Bible says, whatever you will men to do unto you, you should do likewise to others. We allow betrayal. We damage trust. Sometimes, for example, in a garden like this, we see gossip. It's one of the work of the flesh, and slander. If we do these things, we cannot lead godly relationships. In the book of Romans chapter 1, 28 to 32, Romans 1, 28 to 32, and even as they did retain God in their knowledge, they gave over to reprobate mind to do things that are not convenient. The Bible, so many times, we know what is right, but because we don't allow God to take the rulership, we start finding ourselves doing things that are ungodly. There is a parable. The parable of the unjust servant. Have you heard about that parable before? The parable of the unjust servant. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus spoke a parable about a servant that the master gave him his business to manage and travel. And this servant, having squandered the master's business, and the master came back, he now asked, "Why have you done this?" He thought within himself that the master would judge him. So he decided to fight with the debtors of the master in order to make savings for himself. Of course, when you are unjust, you will be sad, and so he can have a soft landing. But the unique thing about that parable, I want you to go and read, because we may not take it. Book of Luke chapter 16. I have it in another part of my message, and I will tell you. It's Luke 16. Okay. So, what he did was that Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." That this servant, the master, justified because he made reservation for himself. But what am I bringing out? Oftentimes, we take decisions that we think are right for ourselves in order to give ourselves soft landing. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, if you had give yourself soft landing, they will receive you into their rest. What is the rest of your ungodly? Damnation, condemnation, eternal punishment. We will get back there. Unforgiveness. When we don't allow the Spirit of God to rule our relationship, there will be unforgiveness. Lack of forbearing. We will not be kind, tender-hearted, and unforgiving. Okay. Luke chapter 16, 1 to 13. You can read it. It's interesting. We may read if time permits. Another thing that makes us struggle in our relationship is overrated sense of entitlement. Sometimes when we are, maybe we are in the club, we feel they should look for me. They should do this or that. Or I expect him to know. When we have so much sense of entitlement, definitely it's going to destroy our relationship. An overrated sense of entitlement will lead to undue expectation and assumptions. When we nurture a sense of entitlement, it will increase our expectation, which might lead to disappointment, frustration, bitterness, anger, and ultimately destruction. I want you to look at the progression of just feeling entitled and what is the end of it. When you are entitled, you start expecting, yes, he should do it for me, or maybe she should know, or maybe he should respect me, or this or that. When we feel entitled, our expectation rises. And when these expectations are not met, it can only be disappointment. And when we get disappointed, we get frustrated. And when frustration sets in, the next thing we start feeling bitter and anger. And what does anger do? It destroys. So, we should learn to manage our expectations in our relationship so that we don't end up destroying it. Unresolved issues. There are so many times, maybe a brother offend you. There was a particular occasion where I was in a meeting and a brother stood up for an event that happened many months or years ago. I said, you did this to me, but you never spoken with a brother so that they might resolve it. These things happen between couples too, or parents, or friends, or siblings. I've seen siblings that they couldn't even make a call to themselves, all because of damaged relationships. So when issues are left unresolved, it can only destroy our relationship. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 25, Jesus said, when you bring, let's read.
Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and here and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. Then reconcile to your brother, and then come and talk to you. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Let your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison.
Watch the word in verse 25. He said, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way. You don't even need the matter to go to rest. Like the example we learn about this one, it takes humility and courage for us to apologize or for us to address an issue. I was watching a social media skit where a lady was talking about how she resolved issues with spouse, and she said sometimes because there are issues, they keep arguing and they can't talk. In project management, it's called brain writing. She said what they did was, you will write your matter in a paper and I will write mine, then we can read it so we don't have to exchange words, which will lead to harsh words and the rest. We can learn some of these things and ensure that we resolve our issues. The Bible says even our offer of sacrifices will be unacceptable. How can you have issues at home, or probably with a brother or a sister, and you come to worship? Do you think that worship will be acceptable? Think about it. That sister that you nurture in your heart, that, oh, she's done this to me, and when I have the opportunity, I'm going to give it to her. Do you think your offer of praises will be acceptable? No. So the Bible says, agree with your adversary while you are still on the way. Lack of knowledge is some of the reasons why we struggle in relationship. Knowledge brings understanding. When you don't know something, there is confusion. For example, you want to identify the Church of Christ, let's start. But you don't know the way, you don't know the postcode, you don't know everything. You probably wonder the city center, and when you might realize, you are on your way to Loughborough. But if you know their address or how to get it, you will just head straight. So many times, we struggle because we don't know. And how do we know? The Bible says, seek, and you shall what? Hello, are we sleeping? Should I ask us to stand up? Please. I know I may not be the best of speaker, but I beg of you, give me your attention. Jesus told us to seek and we shall find. When we lack knowledge about issues, we should make effort to find it, to know about it, to find by asking questions, by seeking opportunity So many things they struggle about are things we don't know. When we don't know, there's no way we can have an understanding. And when we don't have the understanding, we can't make the right decisions. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we fear God, we'll know more. Proverbs 16:32, he that ruleth the spirit, the Bible says, is mightier than he that conquered a city. I want you to go and read that passage. The writer was talking about a great man that conquered a whole city. But the wise man compared that great man with his power and knowledge and everything. He said, he that ruleth the spirit is greater than me. So it's not about the power and the strength and the knowledge. It's about governing your own spirit in every relationship. Let's quickly look at some examples of relationships in the Bible. There are so many of them, but I've taken a few so that we can learn from them. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, we read of Cain and Abel, and in their relationship, we learn the destructive power of jealousy and anger and the importance of being our brother's keeper. So many times, it is because we refuse to look after each other, and that is how things go haywire. What about the story of Abraham and Sarah, Genesis 12, downwards? The Bible taught us about trust and patience in God's promises. And these are very crucial in marital relationship. Patience and trust. You see how Abraham and Sarah were very patient and diligent, waiting for the promise. He went ahead, he taught us about honesty and mutual support are essential for enduring hardship. What about Abraham and Lot, Genesis 13? It teaches us about the value of peacemaking and the importance of letting others first in order to avoid conflict. Demonstrating generosity and humility in relationships. What about the story of Ruth and Naomi? I advise a lot of our young sisters to go and read the book of Ruth. The lesson taught us about loyalty, devotion, mutual support in relationship, particularly in difficult times. It's very sad that when challenges happen in relationship, whether married relationship, in the church, that is when there are no support. Everybody stands on their own. That is what happened. Instead of us to come together and solve the problem together, true commitment often involve personal sacrifices for the sake of others. Read the story of Esther and Mordecai and see the importance of support and courage among family members in order to solve the challenge. What about Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem? We see collaboration, community support in achieving common goal. Effective leadership involves motivating and uniting the people. As leaders, in any capacity that you find yourself, you have to learn how to motivate others and to foster unity in order to achieve mutually benefiting and enduring relationships. More, Mary and Martha. We see balancing devotion. This is very important. Balancing service and devotion is crucial to the survival of relationship. Relationship thrives when we can prioritize spending quality time together in listening to each other rather than overly focus on tasks. This is one of the things that destroy godly relationship. Because maybe the husband is bothered about, oh, I need to meet up with this, I need to meet up with this. Meanwhile, we forget to meet up our emotional and psychological needs. At the end of the day, what we have built will be destroyed because of our negligence. We learn about Jesus and Peter. Forgiveness. How Jesus was able to take him back in restoration. Restoration and forgiveness. They are key in mending broken relationships. Many of us, yes, things are bad. Things have gone worse. But how do we seek restoration? How do we make effort to see that things can go right? Sometimes you should take the lead. No, as children of God, the Bible says we are the Lord. You should take the lead. If others don't, seeking restoration and forgiveness, we may see the example between Jesus and Peter after Peter betrayed him. What about the early churches? We see community life, which involves sharing, caring, meeting other needs, fellowshipping, characterized by eating from house to house, in prayer, in order to foster unity and mutual support. In conclusion, the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 33 to 30, 31 to 33. We all need to take responsibility and make effort in establishing healthier relationships. We need to humble ourselves and allow the will of God and mind the will of God, the mind of God, to rule in our relationship. I want you to ask yourself, in my relationship, maybe with my brother or my sister or my husband or my wife, am I allowing the will of God to take preeminence in this matter, in this decision that I am taking right now, or that I have taken? Am I allowing the will of God to take preeminence? We should stop establishing our own righteousness. Unfortunately, today we have so many sources of information on social media. Somebody will just wake up and start saying things. And we use this as our own standard of practice. But the Bible told us in the admonition of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 16, he told us about how we should lean on God. We should continuously ask ourselves, what is the will of God in this matter? Let's read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 16. I'll just read it. And knowing this, that in last time, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breaker, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that, of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. These are some of the things that destroy our relationship. Having a form of godliness, or denying the power thereof. From Saul, turn away. For this Saul are they that creep into houses. Let me jump to 7. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jabba withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, wickedly concerning faith, but they shall proceed to further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. But thou hast full known of my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. This is the advice that Paul gave us. He said his own manner of life, in doctrine, in his purpose, in faith, in long-suffering, in charity, in patience, in persecution, affliction. And he goes ahead to verse 15. And that of the child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And finally, it said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.